Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into the mood of worshiping in his word. Okay, let's assemble ourselves. Let's start off with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, just test yourself. If you're trusting in the Spirit, that this morning that all that we do will be glorifying to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to know that we are Your temple and that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have free access to His empowerment, to His leading, to His pouring in of the fruit, all of these wonderful ministries, Father. And therefore, that we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song, James.
Chorus of number 33.
Are we going to sing any verses?
No verses. Would you stand? On the chorus of number 33.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
Was good. Let's begin our prayer request and make you aware of our prayer request. First of all, I'm sure most of you have been keeping up with Leslie's emails in regard to Pat Risley, and this is dated yesterday from John Hintz. Indeed, God is good. Pat is getting better and better each day. The next week is an important week as her body begins to heal and she begins her physical recovery. Please keep in her prayers, keep her in your prayers. Pray that no infection sets in. Pray that her heart heals and recovers now that it has a supply of blood. I'm sure that most of you know the fact that when she first went in, they did not detect any life in the lower half of her heart, the right and left valve on the lower part. Nothing was happening. When they got in, they found out that it was active, and if we get blood circulating in, it should recover itself very well, and that's the purpose of the prayer there. And so just pray that the pain will be minimum. Pray for the ministry in Mexico while Pat is recovering here in the States. Pray for each for extra energy and stamina for Grady and Cheryl as they carry out all that is involved in their ministry in Mexico, plus all of the other things, but taking up the things that Pat did and Bill, because he's up with his wife. Secondly, don't forget to thank God daily for all his blessings and for all of us, and especially for bringing Pat through this ordeal. It was needed. It was indeed a serious time. Show you the kind of encouragement that Pastor John Hintz is. He says his gift is encouragement. Well, he was talking to Patty. He was back down in Tucson. She's up in the Phoenix area. And she said, well, I've walked 500 feet today. And John said, big deal, I walked 700. And so she's doing a lot better. Each day will be a progression, as I understand that, having gone through all of that. And so just be in prayer. But on the same motif of thanking God, please be in prayer for Judah's brother Ronnie. He's at that day, 7, 8, 9 days, where it really gets bad. You want to give the report?
Well, up until 2 days ago, he was really doing well. And tomorrow will be day 8. So he's now really, really sick. And but they expected him to do that. We were just thinking, oh boy, he's going to dodge that bullet. But he is getting sick. And tomorrow the cells should start grasping.
So please be in prayer that the cells do graft and that the recovery works, and God will just touch his body and it'll heal quickly and reduce the pain that he's in. And let's see, are there any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be put in prayer? Yes. Yes, Vern.
That his brain tumor is cancerous, but that it is treatable.
It is treatable. What they're going to be doing next week? Okay, they'll find that out next week. All right, here what we need to be in prayer is, Vern is a believer in Jesus Christ, and be in prayer of God to lead the doctors in making the right decisions in regard to Vern's condition with the tumor in his brain. So please be in prayer for that. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Heather? All right, and how old is the grandson?
Their son is, I'm thinking, like 30, 32.
Okay.
And this has been many times.
All right. We need to be in prayer then. Very good.
It's my friends. They really need to
be in
prayer. Okay. They're believers. But, you know, it's not easy at all.
Yep. Well, God is doing something in their life. And that's what we need to be in prayer, that God's plan for bringing these things in will work in their life. This morning we studied in 1 Corinthians 9 the persevere, and the Greek word hupomone means perseverance to things and circumstances. And you ask yourself, persevere in regard to things? I say, yeah, well, let me just name a couple of things. Your car, your home, your computer, and just name things that can get us out of the plan of God. And then circumstances like sicknesses and illnesses. So God has a lot of reasons for all these things that occur in our lives. So please be in prayer in respect of all of these things. Now, yes?
This is not a prayer request, more of an action, call for action.
Okay.
Donating the blood, especially if you are type O positive. So, you know, it's a lot of people, I'll say 50% of our population is that. That's all they do need a lot.
And that's what they're low on.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know what my blood type was. I went in the military and it was on a dog tag. And I looked, okay, I know what I am now. And so, did you ever?
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
They're
traveling today.
And Bill needs prayer because
Phil needs prayer. Hey, I understand that. I understand that. Yes. Yes. All right.
Associate work for daughter Elena.
Elena.
Family crisis.
Okay. Be in prayer that God will use it to bring him closer to him. Tanya, how's your mother? Good. Okay, we'll continue being in prayer. Right. Okay, yes.
I wanted to mention that it's communion next week.
Yes, communion next Sunday, first Sunday of the month. Just a time to think about our past. We studied in 1 Corinthians this morning. Your past determines your future and the decisions you make in the present. Let's don't ever get away from our past, which is the cross. So next Sunday is communion, and then we'll have our fellowship time together. So anything you have left over, just please bring it.
And then one more thing. It worked last time, so I was going to ask for prayers for my chemistry test for Tuesday.
All right. Hey, prayer works. I believe in prayer. Prayer. So pray that... you can't pray the student's prayer. See, she can only... Father, help me on this test that I did no study for. And that's the student's prayer, and God just kind of smiles, and you're on your own, kid. And so we'll be in prayer. Chemistry. All right. Very good. Yes?
Has Kent's sister heard anything yet?
I don't know about the time schedule, but I'm glad you mentioned Kit. He's not feeling well, and so we need to be in prayer for Kit. And then his sister, as she gets ready for the heart surgery that she's under. So let's be in prayer for that. Well... Get the thing sticking there. All right. Let's leave that around.
It's working so
well. Yeah, good grief. It was working well. I took it out. Okay. Well, did it fall?
Yeah, right here. You see it? Okay.
Oh. I can't hear. I can't see. I'm falling apart. Old age is terrible. Huh?
You look pretty good.
That's what I want him to say. I'm lying in my coffin. He looks good. okay. Yeah. Yes, Heather.
One more prayer request and
Okay.
And so my request is just, you know, that I guess leave him and us in the decision of if it's worth treating with that uncomfortable contact lens. Hopefully it doesn't drive him more crazy than the eyesight problems did. because, you know, that's every day.
All right.
And all the time. And so he's kind of nervous about it.
Yeah.
He's never worn a contact lens at all.
Okay. We'll be in prayer. Oh, wow.
I have to believe that, so it's just right for me.
I was a total wimp. I couldn't put things in my eyes, so they just kept me with glasses. Yes, sir?
We will be traveling this week.
Just pray for all right. In prayer for Jim and Annelle. In prayer for Brian and Larry. And any other prayer requests? Yes. Okay, traveling back to A&M, so we'll be in prayer for Gillette. Yes, sir.
Snowfire was 3 months ago today. He's still out of the house and just praying
that
he continues to work through those issues.
Okay. Who will put the Morgans up this week? Oh, wow. Bless your heart, I understand. Okay, any other prayer requests? Okay, just please remember these. And the Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, For God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Christ as Savior and who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith, that they're led in by the Holy Spirit in regard to what to do with their finances. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our privilege, our joy, to be a part of the invisible warfare. We take money that's used in the physical, material world, and we invest it in the invisible, the eternal, the spiritual. Father, we pray that you'll receive these offerings. You'll continue to use them in this assembly and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, so anyone that does not have the printout for today, go your way. Anyone not have it? Everyone have a copy of Go Your Way? This is a sad day in my life. We'll end Daniel. And I mean, really, it is. I've really enjoyed. You have little faith. You sound like James. The Cowboys don't play till tomorrow night, so I've got plenty of time. Okay. Huh? There are a few pictures. Yeah, my goodness. All right, let's get ready for our last study in the book of Daniel. I have really appreciated, and I hope you have, all the work that James has done to get these done. And no, I didn't need an applause, but just thank you very much. And I think they've been a great benefit to you. And this way you'll have them if you're just in your own quiet time or things come up. You want to know about a verse in Daniel? If you file these the way you should, you'll be able to go right to it and pull it out and go over it and study it. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for a word of prayer. Yes, sir. Ask him. Let's be honest. I made the spelling mistakes. I'm just... Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And move in. And Tyson, not to blow it off... Get with James and see if we can get a disc just out for that. Very good. It'd be very good. That'd be good for pastors to have and all. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer: the Holy Spirit will lead us in these closing words in the book of Daniel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an exciting life Daniel lived. 15 years old, approximately taken out of his home country, taken into a horrible environment in Babylon, much like if a teenager were taken today and put into a Muslim environment, grew up there, never returned to his homeland, but always having a burden for his people. Gifted by him, by you to him, visions. Some have already been fulfilled. Some have yet to be fulfilled. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes as we close out the study of the book of Daniel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, go your way, as you'll see, as used twice in these closing verses of Daniel. Daniel's vision, chapters 10 through 12, ended in Daniel 12:4, and verse Daniel 5 through 9. There are three beings besides Daniel in this closing section: two angels and the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, you go back to the beginning of this last vision. Daniel has been walking along the banks of the Tigris River, was overcome by the vision. Daniel 10 through 12, God the Son, the pre-incarnate, appeared to Daniel. That's in Daniel 10, 5 through 9. Now, starting in chapter 12, verse 5, Daniel sees two others, angels. Now, we must remember, people, angels are directly involved with human history in the angelic conflict. They are at battle over mankind. Daniel 12, 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this side of the river and the other on the other bank of the river. Starting in verse 6, we have a tremendously interesting occurrence, a conversation between the incarnate Christ and the two angels. This is just unbelievable. We are given privy to a conversation between Christ and two angels, and they're just talking with each other. Makes me wonder how many conversations they have. We know of some through the book of Revelation, but just through the church age, how much conversation between Christ and the angels. All right, this is fascinating. Verse 6. And one of the angels said to the man dressed in linen, the pre-incarnate Christ, who is above the waters of the river, a position indicating his sovereign control. Here is the question he asked, not Daniel, but the angel: how long will it be until the end of these wonders, these visions? We would expect this from Daniel, but this reveals how angels are interested in human history. The question involves, how long must Israel suffer? How long will the Gentile nations rule over Israel? Or, how long will Satan be allowed to control movements on this earth? Verse 6, we know who the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river. This is the same man dressed in linen that appeared in Daniel 10:5. Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, before he became humanity. It seems that the two angels are the same two angels who came in Daniel chapter 10. Just seems that way. We don't know that for a fact. What is really interesting is the Hebrew and the use of the word for river. Now, I've tried to get away a lot from dealing with the technical the technicality of the Greek and the Hebrew, unless I think it's something you can use and be aware of. And so here we have an interesting word for river. The Hebrew word used here by Daniel is used in the Old Testament for the Nile in Egypt and the Red Sea, where the Israelites were miraculously delivered from Pharaoh's army. But here Daniel is speaking about the Tigris River. Question: why does Daniel use this word for river and not the ordinary word for river? Perhaps because as Daniel stands here and listens to the Lord and thinks about his vision, he is reminded of the great deliverance of his people by God in the past, and his vision speaks of another great deliverance of his people at the end of the tribulation. Daniel 12:7, I heard the man dressed in linen. So Daniel is standing there. He can hear Christ talking. It's just unbelievable, the stuff going on here, the drama. I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, pre-incarnate Christ, as he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finished shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. Okay, since this is a pre-incarnate Christ speaking, who is the one that he swears by? By him who lives forever. Who is this? This, of course, refers to God the Father. Here is the pre-incarnate Christ swearing by God the Father, God his Father. After the great tribulation of 3.5 years, that is, that he, Jesus, would put not only a stop, but an end to the suffering of his and Daniel's people. He would deliver the people and the nation of Israel. People, as you read the papers, even today, this very day, Israel is talking about how its relationship with America is just extremely weak and is under great duress, under siege. And I like the White House's response, we don't know what you're talking about. They do not understand how anti-Semitic this administration is becoming. Israel does, and that's dangerous to them. So just every day you just read and hear of the development moving toward the rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation. And to what does his answer refer? Christ said, for a time, 1 year, and times, 2 years, half a time, half a year, or 3.5 years. This is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, nor called the Great Tribulation. This is why some people, I just tell you, are what we call mid-tribbers. We believe the rapture will occur, that he will take out his bride before the tribulation even begins, for several reasons. One, church has nothing to do with the age of Israel. The tribulation is the age of Israel. And two, the bride rescuing his bride from all of this trouble. But the great tribulation is when all hell breaks loose here on earth. Once again, highlighting the second half of the great tribulation of Daniel's 70th week of chapter 9. This ending time of the Gentiles and the great tribulation has been a theme throughout Scripture. Moses in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy, Isaiah spoke of the final tribulation, Isaiah 4, and the other passages in Isaiah. Jeremiah speaks of it. Zechariah 11, and Zechariah 13, Zechariah 14. Of course, Jesus Christ in the Great Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, Luke 21, and in his revelation to John, Revelation 7, 11 through 12. Okay, now we have the first, go your way. Daniel now speaks as part of this conversation between the Lord and the angel. Verse 8, as for me, Daniel heard the angel ask the Lord a question, and he heard the Lord's response, and now he expresses his own dilemma. I heard, but could not understand. Okay, people, how many times I have prayed that prayer? I don't understand this passage. How many times have you prayed, or God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why this person has cancer. I don't understand why the finances collapsed. I don't understand why what's happening to me is happening. Why what's happening to our marriage is happening. I don't understand what's going on. Not all the authors of Scripture understood all the special revelation they received. This is proof that these men did not make up the Bible by themselves. And the proof of this is that they admit themselves they did not understand the special revelation which they received from God and which they wrote down under the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it's just more proofs of the divine inspiration of the Bible. Daniel 12:8, Daniel tells the Lord he does not understand what he himself has written down, but he was told to write it anyway, because the information was not only for him, but for future generation of Jews in history yet to come. And these people would need what Daniel wrote during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes at the close of the B.C. And they will understand it by supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. All through Daniel, he has received clarification by an angel. Remember we studied in chapter 10 where I want to know the answer. And the angel came and said, look, I was on my way. 21 days I've been battling with the angel who stopped me from coming to you. Angels are involved in all of this. And Daniel has received quick answers. The Daniel 70th week was while he prayed, the angel was coming to give him information. Remember? So he's always had help in understanding. But not this time. Not this time. He was told to just write it down and close the book. Sometimes, even often, God does not want our understanding. He wants our faith. I don't understand what you're doing. Trust me. That's a story, a whole story of Job. Job took 41 chapters for him to reach chapter 42, where he says, I retract everything I've said. You're God. I trust you. That's when you know you're close to being there and winning the race that is set before us. Things happen in your life. I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. You're God. That's the battle of faith that we're all in. Daniel 12:8. So Daniel expresses his deepest concern. How long? Not how long, but what will happen to my people? My Lord. When he said, my Lord, he is addressing the pre-incarnate Christ. What will be the outcome of these events? Verse 9, he said, pre-incarnate Christ, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. In verse 10, we see more of the wisdom of Daniel. Please remember, we studied it at the very beginning, that Daniel is in the wisdom section of the Hebrew Bible, and here is wisdom not only for those of the tribulation, not only for those at the time of Daniel, but for believers all through history, including the church age. Pay close attention for the message of Daniel, the message to all those who will be alive in the tribulation, all those who live through all the church age. This is the process of personal, experiential sanctification. Verse 10. But many will be purged, purified, and refined. First note, many. In some cases in the Old Testament, this refers to all. But in some cases, it refers to just that. Many of the whole number. It's important to study the context. Now, Daniel 9:27, we have where the many is defined. 9:27 says, and he, dictator of the divided Roman Empire, will make a firm covenant with the many. This refers to the many Jews in Jerusalem who do not know or pay attention to Matthew to flee from the city. These are the wicked who do not understand here in verse 10, Daniel 12. They don't understand. So they're going to make a covenant. They're not going to trust God. They're going to make a covenant with the dictator of the revived Roman Empire to protect them. And you know what they'll do? They'll lay down their guns. They lay down their armor. They lay down all of their defense mechanisms. So the many here is the beginning of verse 10, who will be purged, refers to those who do not know Scripture, who do know Scripture, will flee in the middle of the tribulation, when the abomination that causes desolation is set up in the temple. That's it. I don't understand it, but there it is. That's what Daniel talked about. That's what Matthew talked about. Let's get out of here. Well, let me pack my bag. No. Let me get my makeup. No. Let me get... No. Let's go. Let's get out of here now. And they will go out and head south to Jordan. Okay. Next, we have three words of experiential sanctification. We have already seen these three words in Daniel 11:35 to describe God's sanctifying work in Israel through the centuries that followed Antiochus Epiphanes. Hear these words with Daniel's ears. He loves his people, and this is encouraging to him. Many will be purged. This is their Hebrew stem, and I got to give it to you. Hiphael, which views the action of the verb as part of a whole event, and in the reflexive voice, therefore, many will receive being purged. The verb means they will be purged, separated out from the whole. And then we have purified, again in the Hiphael, the Hebrew meaning they will receive being purified, means to make spotless, white. Many of you are familiar with this verb already. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, you will be like wool. Describing the righteous condition of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior. Here it is used to describe those Jews who survived through the 7 years of the tribulation and who will go into the millennium. 12:10, many will be purged out from the whole, purified, made righteous, and then refined. Only this time we have the reflexive niphel stem of the Hebrew, referring to the process of refining, testing, the purifying effect of external trials. And people, let me tell you something. My wife's going to right now what her brother's going through, and his wife, Thomas's family, very close and extended. All of you, all of us have had either testings of ourselves or someone that we love. How do you handle it? You don't understand it? You're mad at God? You're angry at God? Or do you just say, I trust you? No, I don't understand it. I don't understand why this person gets it. This person who goes to church and these other radicals who never go to church blaspheme your name, they're as healthy as they can be. What are you doing, God? I don't understand. But I trust you. You're God. That's what we're dealing with here, being refined. Being refined. And so the ones who have gone through all the tests of the tribulation, did not take part the mark of the beast, 666, nor did they worship the statue put up in the temple, and so on. This is recorded for us in Psalm 66:8 and following. Bless our God, O people, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow us our feet to slip. For you have tried us, there it is, you have tried us, O God, you have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You have made men ride over our heads, nations that rule over Israel. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. People, when testing comes into your life, don't become angry at God. Don't lose. That's when you come very close to him. Very close to him. And it's all a choice. It's a choice. When I did the SAD series, I used the example. The phone rings. You pick it up. Your child just died on a highway crash. Now you have a choice. Right there is your second of choice. You can fall apart cry, lose it, blame your husband for letting him drive away, do something like that, blame your wife. Or you can say, I don't understand, God, but I trust you. It's a choice. These are choices you and I make when we have tests in life. What we're going to do, how we're going to handle them. If we could but understand that when God brings tribulation in our lives, adversities come upon us, God has such a marvelous plan in view. Yes, it is so difficult to keep this in mind, to keep on trusting in adversity. But for those of us who do persevere in our faith, God has a glorious plan in view for us. And people, please remember that He will not allow any more pressure to come upon us than He knows our faith can endure. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man, which Christ Himself was tested. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted to fall apart beyond what you are able, but what with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. 144,000 and believers in Jesus Christ, and they will be purged, purified, and refined, because they listened to the message of the 144,000. Who are these? Verse 10, all those who refuse to open their eyes and hearts and see the truth to who and what Jesus Christ is will act wickedly. The basic meaning of the Hebrew word for wicked is to be in the wrong, to be guilty and condemned. John 3:18, he who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Back to Daniel 12:10. So first, the wicked are identified as those who refuse to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. They will act wickedly. The wicked will act wickedly. This is defined throughout Scripture as not doing the will of God. In many cases, to decide to go against the will of God. We know that one thing they will do is to make a covenant with the dictator of the divided Roman Empire. We know that from the previous study in Daniel, at the beginning of the tribulation. Another is to take the mark of the beast upon their bodies. They will act more wickedly than ever before in history. Next, we're told something else about the wicked. And none of the wicked will understand. People, that's a horrible place to be in life. Okay? In context, note back in verses 8 and 9. These will not understand at the time of the great tribulation. It will be closed to their eyes because they refuse to see. What a horrible state to be in, where you do not, cannot understand Scripture. A lot of times people say, well, Christ spoke in parables so that the common people could understand. Wrong. He tells you in Matthew 13 why He spoke in parables, so they wouldn't understand. Know the Bible. He did not speak in parables so they would understand. He spoke in parables so they would not understand. Their eyes are closed, they're hardened. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man, living in the flesh, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. People were seeing this so blatant in our society. Well, the Word of God is just not understood, it's ridiculed, it's rejected. We've not heard the end of the mayor in Houston. I talked to Robbie Dean yesterday on the phone. We've not heard the end of that. But even when that is settled down, it'll come up again at another place and another one. And when they reach the point that they will tell pastors, you cannot teach verses of the Bible that teach about homosexuality, it will not be far away for you. Cannot teach verses in the Bible where people will spend eternity in a lake of fire for rejecting Christ. That's politically incorrect. That's offensive. That's where we're headed. Things like what we just seen, they're just not recognizable. The natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. Another powerful verse explains not only why the wicked will not understand, but also the increase of knowledge in verse 4. Daniel 12:10, but those who have insight will understand. See that word in Hebrew, insight? It is the causative stem and means they will be caused to have insight. That is what they will be caused to be prudent. And why will they be caused to be prudent? Because they listen to the 144 evangelists and then they turn to the scriptures like the book of Daniel. And they'll open them up and learn and read and understand Matthew 24 and 25. In Isaiah 41, 20, this word is used to describe the hope that they would understand that the hand of the Lord has acted. Here these Jews will look at all that has been going on for these past few 3.5 years and understand that God is acting in their nation and in their lives just as He prophesied He would. The word is used in Deuteronomy 32:29. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they could discern their own future. Can you discern your future? Can you? If you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, do you know that your future will glorify Christ? Okay. Those who see and understand that Jesus the Messiah is the Son of God. Job believed it. Abraham believed it. Jeremiah used this word to denote wisdom in terms of understanding and knowing God. Jeremiah 9. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the strong mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. Verse 24 is one of those refrigerator verses. But let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, spiritual love, divine love, justice, and righteousness on earth. Not just love, but righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. If you believe this, then you will be in Bible class. You'll be in the Word of God daily, growing in the knowledge of Christ, as Peter says. It is the wise who understands that the Holy Spirit was given to teach and instruct. Nehemiah 9:20, you gave us your good Spirit to instruct. See, we studied on a Wednesday night, there are two things you have to know about yourself. One, you are the temple of God. You may not look like a temple. You may not think you act much like a temple. See? But you are a temple of God. And two, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. To know those things about yourself, they'll guide you in your life. Back to Daniel 12:10. But those who have insight, they will be caused to have insight because of the Word of God, and as a result, will understand. This is a rich Hebrew word meaning to discern, to perceive, to observe, to pay attention to their life, to history, to what's going on. They're not just walking along in a fog. They're watching, seeing what God is doing in their life, in their country, in history. That's what they're doing. So this is what they will understand. It's a very rich word. This is so elementary that few understand it or believe it. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord, reverence for Him, is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His will, not His commandments, His praise endures forever. So this is the wisdom. This is those who will understand. During the time of the great tribulation, God seals and conceals His word, and only God can cause one to understand. Remember we said in Isaiah 28, He conceals, hides, and reveals. He conceals and reveals. If you don't want to see it, He'll conceal it. If you want to see it, He'll reveal it. Daniel 12:10, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight, those who understand where it is in the Word of God, will understand. The mind, and yes, the hearts of those who worship the beast, will be closed and hardened to the gospel. To the gospel call of the 144,000 Jews who will announce the coming of the King. Everyone else, when we speak of the time period of the tribulation in Daniel, Revelation, elsewhere, it is talked about in 2 3-and-a-half-year periods, with each one, each half, being at approximately 1,260 days. Now, with that in mind, this is important, the Bible speaks of two periods. Now look, normally 1,260 days. Now, the Bible is going to speak of two periods, 1,290 days, and another 1,335 days. What's going on? Daniel 12, 11 and 12. We're almost finished. Okay. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to 1,335 days. Okay, we have two different sets of time periods. 1,290 days, 1,335 days. Best way I know how to do this simply is just carry our thinking along in points. One, that's a difference of 45 days from each other. Two, there is an additional 75 days beyond the end of the tribulation. Why? Three, the 1,290 days covers the same period at that of 3.5 years, or 1,260 days of the tribulation with an added 30 days. We know this for the counting begins when the sacrifices are abolished in the middle of the tribulation, and the abomination of desolation is set up. And the dictator of the proud Roman Empire comes to Jerusalem, stops all the sacrifice, all the Jewish worship, puts a statue of himself, the abomination, to be worshipped in the temple, which we know from Daniel 9 in the study of Daniel's 70th week. Point 4. To clarify, the counting begins when the Antichrist comes to Jerusalem, demands that his statue, the abomination that causes desolation, be set up in the temple, and universal worship of him begins. He breaks his covenant with Israel, surprise, surprise, which he made some 3.5 years earlier, and he prohibits them from offering sacrifices in the temple. And from Revelation we know that he will punish all Jews who do not recognize this worship of him. This is why the Jews are instructed in Matthew 24 to get out of Jerusalem, travel south, probably to Petra. Okay, what about those added 30 days? Speculation. No one knows for certain. But people, this goes back hundreds of years from what I'll call godly scholars of the Bible. And I believe they hit it right on the head. So this is speculation, but I think it's pretty good in regard to what these extra days are about. From Matthew 25:31-46 will be the judgment of the nations at the end of the tribulation. These 30 days added to the end of the tribulational period will be for the judgment of the nations. Our Lord building his own temple, purifying the earth, getting ready for his millennial kingdom. We get a hint of some of this in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. This is so elementary that few understand it or believe it. Verse 31 of Matthew 25, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him," second advent, "He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left." But what about the 1,335 days? Speculation. Note that it is said about this period, Daniel 12:12, "How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to 1,335 days. Two, question. Why will those who keep waiting on earth and make it the full 1,335 days? One, note that it will be 15 days longer than the previous 1,290 days, or an extension of 75 days. So why will these be blessed if they make it the extra 15 days? Speculation. Because by that time, all the preparation for the millennial reign of Jesus will be complete, and Jesus will take His seat on the throne in Jerusalem and begin His 1,000-year reign. And every person who lives on earth to see that day will be blessed." See, they'll be in their physical bodies just as we'll be with Him, but we'll be in a resurrected body. They'll be in a body with a sin nature. They will have gone through the tribulational period. They didn't take the mark of the beast, but they weren't martyred either. And they stayed with Him all the way through. And so they stayed there. They saw Him judge the nations. They witnessed to Him cleaning it all up, getting ready for His kingdom. And then they saw the King, our Savior, sit down on His throne. People, that's got to be exciting. That's got to be just emotional. If you know what's going on. In Ezekiel 30, 20, 34, and 38, we have a description of the cleansing of the earth, a renovation of the earth. 1 half-year period are the days that will be shortened down to 1,260 days so that the believers will be able to survive the tribulation. Matthew 24. The point is that if the tribulation were allowed to completely run its course, no human being would survive. There would be no survival of the human race. It would destroy itself if Christ doesn't cut the tribulation short. Because by that time, all the preparation for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ will be complete. Jesus will take His seat on the throne in Jerusalem and begin His 1,000-year reign, and every person who lives on earth to see that day are called blessed. If that deduction, speculation, is correct, that shows you the extreme situation of suffering in the last days of the Great Tribulation. No food, water, medicine, protection against the geographical cataclysms, the diseases, all that's going on during the Tribulation. Daniel 12 is the last time that God the Son, pre-incarnate, known at other times in the Old Testament as the Angel of the Lord, shows up in visible form in the Old Testament era. And in that last appearance, He swears by none other than His own Father. And that's what we have in our passage. That is the last picture of Christ given in the Old Testament. This brings us to the final verse of the book of Daniel, where Daniel receives his final message. Daniel 12:13. Let's read, hand over heart, solemnly. "But as for you, Daniel, go your way to the end. Then you will enter rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. I want you to see the three stages of life for any believer, every believer, recorded in these words. First of all, go your way to the end. And this is what Jesus tells every believer, even in the church age. Go your way to the end. God has a wonderful plan for every one of you. Every one of you. Those of you may have reached older age, as Jim Langston, James Webb, and I have. Others of you are very young. You've got to go your own way in life. You've got to go your way, your journey. That's why you were given the Holy Spirit. Mackenzie's a young teenage girl. James Webb's an old man. We've got to go your way. And God has a way for every one of us. And only you go your own way that He has for you. This means that God has a plan for you. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to guide you. Maybe now you'll understand the disciples in the upper room. I'm going to die. And then I'm leaving earth. Well, what's to happen to us? See, they've been living by sight. He went to Jerusalem. They followed Him to Jerusalem. He went to Galilee. They followed Him to Galilee. They went into Samaria. They followed Him into Samaria. Where are you going? Where are you going? Don't get so far ahead of us. We've got to keep our eyes on you. I'm not going to be here anymore. Well, what's going to happen to us? Well, I'm going to send you another divine helper. It's going to be just like me, divine. But don't expect a person like me. He's Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You follow Him. Just as you trusted me, you trust Him. Just as you followed me, you follow Him. And now believers all over the world, every nation in the world, can live their own life as unto the Lord. Go your way. This is what Jesus Christ tells every believer, here even here in the church age. Go your way to the end of your life. You don't know when that'll be. We don't get to choose it. How, when, where? God has a wonderful plan for every born-again believer. This means that God has a plan for you. Don't get discouraged with it. Don't get angry with it. And don't get caught up in it, like holding on to it, rather than holding on to Him. There's a time we're all going to go home. Well, my parents have died. My wife died. My husband's died. I want to go. People don't get that choice. He's got a plan for you. Go your way. To know and continue in that plan for you, you must be on guard to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit every moment. We studied that in our 9:15 class. We're studying the practicality of living the Christian life. Grow in the knowing and understanding of Scripture. Praying at all times in the Spirit. You do not walk by sight, but by faith. Faith in God. God the Holy Spirit. Do not worry about what other believers are doing or not doing. Go your own way to the end. And while I was studying this, I thought, wow, John chapter 21. Peter. Peter was so concerned. Well, what's going to happen to John? Well, you tell me what's going to happen to me. What's going to happen to him? And that was what his big problem was. In verse 22, the Lord said to him, Peter, if I want him, if I, Jesus Christ, want him, John, to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Don't be concerned about other people. He's going to take other people out at different times than you. That's just the fact. If somebody's gone and you're here, He took them out before you. Very strong wisdom. That means He's got a plan for you. Don't you worry about what He's doing. And when He takes you out, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Other people are older than me. Other people are this, that. Well, don't take me out yet. Ah! No. He's got a time. He's going to take us out to your end. Got to just go until the end. Here's the wisdom of the last verse in Daniel. Do not worry what others are doing. You just be sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. People, I can't worry about the churches that I've passed coming here, big buildings that seat hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands or all the other. I got my own journey. I got my own direction. I have my own study to do in my office. I'm to teach those of you that care enough to come. We each have our own journey. We're supposed to follow Him by growing in the knowledge of Christ. The second phase is given to us. See, the first phase in life of all of us, go your own way to the end. Live your life in Christ to the end. The second phase, then you will enter into rest. Well, what's that? That's when you die. That's the fact that all of us are going to come to that point outside of the rapture generation. When God's journey for Daniel is complete, Daniel will die. And this is true of every one of us. God knows the perfect time and manner for each of us to depart from this world. You may not like the way somebody's departed. You may not like the way you're departing. It's God's perfect wisdom. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Well, yeah, except. No. There are many conditions here. You trust Him or not. God knows the perfect time and manner for each of us to depart out of this world. And as we've already seen, well, I don't know if do this class, but on a Wednesday night class, the perfect thing to be doing when you die is praying to God the Father like Jesus Christ. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. And that was it. It's a great way to die. Talking to the Father. Because you don't get to finish your sentence, and when you wake, when you're the next second later, you're in presence with Him. So you just continue on talking to Him. Well, forget what I was just saying, I'm already here now. See? It's a wonderful way, talking to Him. As long as you're alive, God has a plan and a purpose for keeping you alive. Like the way another faithful believer worded it in 2 Timothy 4, for Paul, the Apostle Paul, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. That's what you want to be able to say. I've ran the course. I finished the course. I ran my race. I kept the faith. We're studying running the race in the Christian life in our 9:15 class. This is what Paul is referring to. I finished the course. And the race is walking by faith. In the future, there is laid up for me, this is the third stage, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. One of my favorite verses in doing funerals and memorials is Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Daniel 12:13, and rise again, the third stage, and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Daniel will be resurrected. This was the hope of Job, the confidence of Abraham, and it should be the confidence of every one of you and every one of us. No one of us should ever fear death, because we know we're going to be resurrected. We know that as soon as we die, we're face to face with Him, and we're going to be resurrected in our resurrected body to serve Him forever. We have no fear of death. Never fear death. Never worry about the future. You will be with the Lord forever. We do not know how long Daniel lived, but he must be about 95 years old at this time. But here is his promise that he will receive a reward that fadeth not away. Daniel was taken into captivity from Judah into Babylon when he was a lad of about 15. We know he lived through 70 years of captivity in Babylon, but he didn't get to go home after that. He had to stay and serve under the Persians. He lived to see several of his prophecies fulfilled. Yet, there are many yet to be fulfilled, now some 2,500 years after he prophesied. Okay, this next sheet is kind of encapsulating all that we've done in Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, exile, how Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem, destroyed Jerusalem, and destroyed the temple, took Daniel into captivity and his three friends. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statute, the times of the Gentiles, the four great nations. Chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar's golden image and the fiery furnace, Rachak, Meshach, Abednego, and the Lord in the fiery furnace. Chapter 4, vision of the great tree. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar sees himself as this great, powerful tree, and then he's taken down to his knees where he becomes an animal and wakes up praising the Lord, writing a tract of his salvation. Chapter 5, handwriting on the wall at Belshazzar's feast. Chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den, because the king was tricked by the people who were jealous of Daniel, and he tricked him into putting Daniel into the den, and the king didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. He was so concerned. He woke up the next morning running down there. Daniel said, "Don't sweat it. You'll wake up the lions. They're still asleep. I'll come up." Chapter 7, vision of the four beasts. The Antichrist appears. Chapter 8, vision of the ram and goat, Alexander the Great. Chapter 9, Daniel's 70th week. Chapter 10, the invisible warfare, how angels are fighting each other to keep man from getting the message. Chapter 11, Antiochus Epiphanes, the battle of the kings of the north, the kings of the south. Chapter 12, the tribulation and our hope in Christ. I had asked James to put back in what we studied before, putting these things in sort of picture forms. Exile, the statute. Then you see the three friends in the fiery furnace, but see the fourth figure, Christ. The giant tree that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed himself was. Then the chapter 5, the writing on the wall. Chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. Chapter 7, the four beasts. Chapter 8, the ram and the goat. And the ram, Alexander the Great, destroys the Persian Empire. Chapter 9, Daniel's 70th week. The number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70. Chapter 10, the invisible warfare, the angelic conflict. Chapter 11, Antiochus Epiphanes, the battle between the king of the north versus the king of the south. A map chart of the flow of Daniel 11, 2-35. We list the empires, Persian Empire, Greek Empire, Ptolemy and Seleucid, Church Age, Tribulation, and then we have the various maps of the various empires. And then what did we close with? Was the Church Age, and then Tribulation, Daniel 11:36 through 12:2, and then go your way, chapter 12, and he put in all of chapter 12, and we have completed Daniel, and it is now 11:44. We did it. James said, "There's no way you're going to get through that." Okay. Yes. The world. All over the world in their own language. No, just the ones in Jerusalem. Just the Jews. It's a Jewish issue. It's not a Gentile issue. Gentiles will bear under, not take the mark of the beast, and continue trusting in the coming Messiah. Yes. And they will minister to Jews and Gentiles throughout the world. Yep. They're all over the world, and they'll speak to those people in their languages. In Germany, they'll speak German. In Brazil and wherever country they're in, they'll speak that those people's language, and they'll understand what's happening, what God is doing in their time, and to believe in the coming King. He is coming. He is coming. Go your way. Okay? All right, I got a little surprise for you next Sunday, but let's close in a word of prayer. And don't forget, next Sunday is communion, and is to bring whatever's left over Saturday night, and we'll eat it. And so let's close now in a word of prayer. Wow, what a book, Father. What a great book. Wisdom for us today. Wisdom for the Jews today. Wisdom for those who will be here in a time when we'll be gone, both Jew and Gentile. This book is filled with so much wisdom. This book is filled with so many things we need to bear in mind. Father, pray you'll have us recall it to memory when we need it. Ah, I learned that lesson in Daniel. Ah, that's what Daniel was talking about. The wisdom of Daniel. And Father, we just pray that you'll keep these things that we've learned in our soul, in our minds, as we serve you, as we run the race. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.